If you got your book, got your Bibles today, turn to Romans chapter number 8. Go down to verse 31. I did a little look at some of my Bibles just to see what I preached in the past. I have preached 26 sermons since I've been at Taze Valley Baptist Church, all different from Romans chapter number 8. And I'm going to preach another one today that I've never preached before. I'm so excited, I'm about to jump out of my skin. Look at verse number 31. Who shall we then say, or what shall we then say to these things? Church, look at this. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now notice these verses. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I might as well read this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And is it written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, well, glory, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let me give you three things by way of introduction quickly. If you study chapter 7 and chapter 8, you'll come to a conclusion. God gives three guarantees. I'm glad God's not an Indian giver. I'm glad God didn't give me salvation and depended on me to kind of work it out and get my way through and hold on and hope so and maybe so. I'm glad I know so. I'm glad He saved me forever. Well, glory. In verses 35 through 39, He guarantees us through our course. I don't know what life's going to bring you, but if you're a child of God and saved, you will make it. And then in chapter 7, He guarantees us over our conflict. When I got saved, I was told that my worries were over and that I'd never have no trouble again. I'm still looking for that guy who told me that. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get saved, here's what happens. Legally, you're dead to sin. Legally, did you hear that? Legally, you're dead to sin. But here's the problem. Though I'm legally dead to sin, Paul had a conflict over in chapter 7. He said, when I do right, evil's present with me. And I paraphrase, when I do wrong, I'm liking it. And I don't know right and wrong, and I'm a mess. The great apostle Paul said it. And then he came up to the statement, he said, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me of the body of this death? And he said, I thank God through Christ. I'm glad I got a guarantee through the conflict. I heard a story, and I'm preaching this, but I got to give you this. I heard a story back to the Vietnam War. There's a man died in the Vietnam War, or was declared dead in the Vietnam War. He was declared dead 19 years. His wife had waited a while and then remarried. And he come up to her doorstep 19 years later, knocking on the door, and to try to woo her back. I want y'all to know something. I've been saved for 43 years. And I hate to tell you this, but if you don't know it already, the old booger man comes back to me and tries to woo me back over. But I'm glad. Well, somebody say amen. I am glad that I got one that's greater than the devil. I'm glad I got one that's got a greater pull than the devil. I'm glad I got one that's already defeated. Hey, by the way, already defeated. The devil stopped his head. And I want you to know we're on the winning side. But let me give you the third guarantee, and here's what I'm preaching from, and I got to move. I'm preaching from a guarantee in the courtroom. Look at this passage. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a courtroom scene. Hey, the devil will do this to you. I don't care how long you've been saved. He'll drag you and drag you into the courtroom and will make an accusation. And he even might say this, well, you ain't been a very good parent. Why could you be used of God? Well, you haven't been a very good person all along. Why can you preach for God? You haven't always been what you should be. How could you be a deacon? How could you be a Sunday school teacher? And here's what he does. He tries to go right down to your foundation and cause doubt in your mind. You said, Preacher Smith, I don't have no problem with that. And I don't want to upset you, but I don't believe you. You ain't going to tell me you never doubt anything. You can't tell me the devil don't crawl up on your shoulder every once in a while and say, you're not even saved. Hello? And by the way, I will tell you, he is a liar. Can I tell you something? I'm trying to get somewhere. Y'all stay with me. This is so, by the way, let me give you an illustration. You're not greater than the greatest. And by the way, there's a man named John the Baptist was the greatest, Jesus said, of all, except for the least. Somebody, you know what John the Baptist said? He said, art thou he, or should we look for another? The man had been in prison 18 months. And now he was doubting the very purpose of God. I want you to know, this is a courtroom scene. I don't know if you, how many of y'all have ever been in a courtroom? Raise your hand. Pretty intimidating place. I've been there with some people, the children, I went there to represent them and I've been there three times on that behalf. I was in the courtroom kind of on my own once. Oh, yeah. You said, how old was you? 13. Meanest rattlesnake you ever met at 13. And I wasn't there for me. I was there for my big brother. Because I got him in more trouble. My big brother was about 22, 23 years old. And there was a bully in Chandler's Drive. He was the meanest guy in the world. He was 17 and almost 11 months. And I got a snowball and I busted him right in the back. That old boy. And I'll tell you what he done. He came and put a thumping on me. Well, that wasn't a real smart thing for him to do. Because my brother knocked him out. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. My brother was 23 and he was 17, 11 months. So he got called to go to the courthouse. And I said, you getting a lawyer? He said, nope. Hey, you're nuts if you don't go there with a lawyer. He said, nope. I'm not going to go there with a lawyer. You're going with me. years old. I'm a maniac. And we go in there, and I'm sitting in there, and we're waiting. We've done, it's supposed to be 8:30. It was 9. It was 9. Then it went to 9:30, and I said, "Dear God, I looked at him. I said, what's going to happen?" We went in there, and we went into the lady, and I said, I didn't, but he said, "Where's the judge?" Well, I done seen his gavel. I done seen his gavel. I seen where the prosecutor stood. I saw where the defense attorney stood. And I said, "Where's he at?" They said, "Well, evidently that boy didn't show up, so you're okay." I want you to know something. The devil will come to you. Somebody say amen. And I want you all to know, he will make accusations. He will take you to the courtroom. He will do everything he can to get right at your foundation. But I want you to know, you're okay. I want to say something. I'm being careful. I'm slow tonight, today. I want to say something. I'm going to tell you what stifles revival. You're going to be shocked at what I'm going to say. We're trying to get everybody saved that's backslidden away from God, thinking they need saved, instead of getting them to deal with their sin. You can get somebody recapped all you want to, and get them up to the altar all you want to, and get them saved 45 times. But I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. It probably is not salvation what they need, what they really need. They need to deal with their sin. Confess their sin. Get right with God, because what they'll do is go right back to their seat, be the same problem it was. I'll tell you what we need in this country is real repentance. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice our false accuser. Our false accuser. I had a woman come to me in Indiana. I was preaching revival out there, and she came to me and she said, "Preacher Smith, I'm having a real tough day today." She said, "I did something when I was a girl, 16 years old, and every year on this day, the devil brings it up to me. And he just beat me to death with it." And I want you to know something. Can I give you something maybe you want to shout with? When the devil reminds you of your past, can I give you something to make you shout? Remind him of his future. Hey, there's some of you in this room right now, you have blew it in the past. You have messed up in your past. But I want you to know something. Ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins, they're all under the blood of Calvary. Woo! I'm going to tell you something here. I'm digging deep this morning. How somebody say, we tell people this statement, and it's the dumbest statement we can tell them. I tell you, those who want to hear the dumbest thing you can tell somebody? And I know Baptist preachers do it, and everybody else does it. They've sinned, okay? And they took it to God. Well, now, honey, what you've got to do is forgive yourself. That sounds theological, but ignorant. You can't forgive yourself. They ain't but one that forgives. And that's God. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Hey, by the way, if you've asked him to forgive you, quit worrying about forgiving yourself. You're forgiven. Amen. Oh, yeah. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to come at your weakest moment and strike you at your foundation. Somebody help me right here. You say, I'm talking about when you have blew it, the devil's going to come and strike you at your foundation. Now, let me show you something. Quickly. Turn to Romans chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. Real quick, just back up. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we what? rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let me tell you four things that happen. By the way, who shall lay any faith to the charge of God's elect? Why is he using the word elect here? Why isn't he saying God's people? Why isn't he saying the saints? No, elect speaks of the purpose. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants you to get you doubting so you will get away from God's purpose for your life. Good preaching, right? Now listen to this. Look at verse 3. And not only so, but we what? Glory in tribulations. Now I want you to know something. How can you glory in tribulation if you don't know for sure you're saved? How can you glory in tribulation if you're not saved? And you know what the devil does? He attacks your foundation. Let me give you something. Write this down. You'll need this sometime. You know what the difference between a conviction and an accusation is? Do you know? A conviction always points you to Christ and the cross. Accusation always points you to yourself. When the devil is making an accusation pointing to yourself, and you get this self-pity, that's what he wants to do for you. But if it's a real conviction from God, he ain't going to point you to yourself, because there ain't no hope in ourselves. He's going to point you to Jesus and the cross and where he died. So number one, we have a false accuser. Number two, let's go quickly. Whew. Somebody say amen here. We have two faithful allies. Now here's my message. By the way, I'll give you the title now and I'm almost done. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Whew. Are you there? Look at verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? First of all, it is God. What? Who is he that condemneth? It is what? It is Christ. Here's what I'm preaching on, folks. It is God. It is Christ. It is God. It is Christ. When the devil comes up to you and says you ain't making the grade, when the devil comes up at you and tries to strike you at your very foundation and brings up every past sin that you ever had and every failure you ever had, here's what you need to say. It is God. It is Christ. It is God. It is Christ. How many believe they are faithful allies this morning? Let me give you an illustration. Genesis 15. God makes a covenant. For this right here, I'm almost ready to shout. God makes a covenant with Abraham. How many remember the story? He's reaffirming his covenant. Here's what Abraham... By the way, when you make a covenant, here's what you got to do. Abraham killed an animal. He got to wore out, skinning the carcass out. Then he went to sleep. Remember, the covenant was between him and God. And then what you do... You lay the meat out here on each side, and here's what you do. When they made a covenant, they'd walk on a figure eight. And what happened when they walked on that figure eight? They met each other in the middle. Well, here's the problem. Abraham was asleep. The Bible said God passed through there like a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. And here's what happened. Ooh, I can't hardly stand myself. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. God the Father and God the Son went into figure eight. And you said, what happened? God met God. I want you to know something. These churches that don't preach eternal security, they're out of their mind. I want you to know something. You are not going to get yourself to heaven. You're kept by the power of God. You're kept because you've got a covenant relationship. And it wasn't you that done it. It was God in Christ. It is God. It is Christ. It is God. It is Christ. It is God when I fail. It's God when I don't meet the problem. I thank God this morning. Woo! Listen to me. Your faithfulness is not what's going to get you to heaven. You're not saved by your works, but you work because you are saved. Woo! Every church in America needs this doctrine and what I'm preaching, preaching it, because they got church fulls of people that come back and forth wondering if they're saved, wondering if they really got it. I say to you, if you ask Jesus to save you and you repent of your sins and trust Him, Savior, you're saved. And it's God and it's Christ. It's not you. It's not your performance. It's His. Four, number three, and I'm done. And then there's four firm announcements. I can't, oh Lord. Look at them, verse 34. Here they are. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's the four statements. It is Christ that died. By the way, sin was paid for. It was Christ that got up. It was Christ that sat at the right hand of God. It is Christ that maketh intercession. So let's break it down and we'll conclude. Stay with me. It was Christ that died. Jesus paid it all. That's a finished sentence. You said, what's going to take you to heaven? Woe to the preacher that preaches anything else. There's only one thing going to take you to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and that is faith in Christ. That's a finished sentence. How many of you at one time in your life you've accepted Christ as Savior? Raise your hand if you have. It's finished. It's finished. You're saved. You can't be lost again. Well, boy. Number two, he rose again. Not only is it a finished sentence, it shows me that the Father is satisfied. When Jesus came from the tomb, here's what God said. He took care of it. And he got up. And I am satisfied. Ladies and gentlemen, Your performance will not satisfy God. You thinking you can keep the law. Whosoever keeps the whole law and offendeth in one point is guilty of it all. You're going to be a yo-yo Christian in, out, up and down. And you'll never have any stability as long as you don't believe the truth that I'm preaching this morning. You'll always have your foundation attacked. Then it says, we're at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. That's a favored seat. Chad, you want to shout just a little bit. We're made to sit together in heavenly places. You said, where are you at, preach? I'm in God. Right at the right hand of God. See, now you're not, you're right there. Well, then Ephesians, tear that out of your Bible. We're sitting together in heavenly places. What that means is I'm secure. Here's the only thing that make me lost. If you go but somehow get up here and get to Jesus, and the devil get to Jesus and take him off the throne. Well, by the way, if he done that, he'd be a saved devil. That ain't happening. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God. I'm glad when I got saved, I'm in a favored seat. I'm a favored son. Somebody raise your hand. You said, but I've been disobedient. I ain't been a real good Christian. Raise your hand a moment. I'm glad it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on him. I'm glad it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on him. Lastly, I'm he maketh intercession. Lord God, this is good. We have a friendly speaker. Now, there's two confessions in 1 John. 1 John 1 9 said, if we confess our sins, wherever he's faithful just to forgive our sins. And that has nothing to do with relationship. That has to do with fellowship. But then it says this, my little children, I'd have you not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Who is, by the way, Calvinist, listen to this, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, Calvinist, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, I have done this myself, mistakenly, through ignorance and doctrine. Now, I declare when I do it, I'm wrong. The newfangled Bibles, they have, if you read them, we have a defense attorney. That's what they say. Not all of them, but some of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that's it, here's what a defense attorney does. He's trying to get you off on a technicality. Jesus is not playing the part of a defense attorney. There's a difference in a defense attorney and an advocate. You know what an advocate says? I hold my meal. He's on my side. When the devil points his little ugly finger at me, Jesus makes intercession and says, he's one of yours. He's got your righteousness. He's been washed in your blood. What a friendly speaker. I have no way to please God. I have no advocates. I can't advocate for myself. I'm a dirty, rotten failure, but I'm glad that I got one that stands in my place and pleads the blood. This morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. You may be in one or two states this morning. You may be in a state that you've just never been saved. I want to ask you a question. How many of you at one time in your life received Christ by faith in your life and you asked him to save you? Raise your hand if you did that. Thank you. Some folks ain't got your hand up right now. You didn't raise your hand. And you're lost. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I want to be a Christian? Boy, this morning you showed me real quickly. It ain't me that saves me, it's Christ. How many of you right now couldn't raise your hand, but right now you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Just slip it up. God bless that hand. Somebody else? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want you to pray for me. Just slip it up. Preacher, I've been listening to you preach for months, and I need to be saved. Just slip your hand up. I wonder how many Christians right now would be honest enough to say, Preach, the devil has thrown everything at me but the kitchen sink, and he's trying to make me doubt. He has troubled my life, and I'm tired of it. And from this day forward, I want to take up the mantle. It is God. It is Christ. How many Christians, the devil maybe wore you out this week? Say, just pray for me. Raise your hand. God bless you, all the house. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many of you here, you've been saved, but you're away from him today? And it's not you getting saved is what you need. You need to repent of a sin, and you need to get back in fellowship. How many Christians raise your hand and say, pray for me? Yeah, I see it. I see it. I see it. Stand with me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to this altar and let it be God and let it be Christ. You that says that you backslid on God and you've sinned, I want you to come to this altar right now, Father. Touch me, pray, this altar call. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for the liberty to preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Just sit down. The devil is attacking your very foundation. God bless you, Charlie. He'll use anything to
watch and pray,
to try to rock your life. Others of you, just slip up your hand. Young man, young lady, mom, dad. Get it right now. Come around here and say, it is God, it is Christ. It is God, it is Christ.
Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
It is God, it is Christ. God's moving. Come on. Failure. You feel like you failed as a parent, failed as a Christian. The devil trying to rock your foundation. Come today. It is God. It is Christ. He's a faithful ally. Oh, I believe we're ready to have a breakthrough. Some of you need to just shake that devil off and come and say, it is God. It is Christ.
For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white.
Well, yeah. It is Christ. It is God.
All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I brought you to the Bible this morning. And the one thing you might be able to duck is my personality, but you can't duck this. It's been preached to you. And God wants you to get done with this doubt and this struggle so you can fulfill your purpose.